All right, we are in Psalm 148. We really only have a few more psalms, and we will have completed our trek through the psalms that started, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago, I guess. And so I've enjoyed studying each psalm, and tonight we're looking at Psalm 148, and the title of the message is Nearer, Still Nearer. Psalm 148 really divides into two main sections, and we can tell by the repetition of the phrase, praise the Lord. In the first instance, we read, praise the Lord from the heavens, and that's verses 1 through 6. And then in the second instance, we read, praise the Lord from the earth. So this is an admonition for all of creation to praise the Lord and to draw near to Him. Let's read this together in Psalm 148. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you stars of light. Praise Him, you heaven of heavens, and you water above, your waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for He commanded, and they were created. He also established them forever and ever. He made a decree which shall not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures, and all the depths, fire and hail, snow and clouds, stormy wind fulfilling His word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl, kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His glory is above the earth and heaven, and He has exalted the horn of His people. The praise of all His saints, of the children of Israel, people near to Him, praise the Lord. This is Psalm 148. Now, I like that phrase, a people near to Him. The psalmist, with this phrase, having all of creation praise the Lord, he comes down to the individual. We're looking at a people, and of course, Israel is the nation that is in view from the psalmist's perspective. And all in this place called heaven are going to praise Him. All in the heavens, creation itself will praise Him. Zeroing into Israel, they shall praise Him specified, but that mantle of praise has been, it's been handed to the church. And so now we're looking at the church praising the Lord today, and our praise is unique. Because when we speak praise, we are speaking that praise from the fullness and knowing the fullness of God's redeeming love. We know it like no other generation before us knew it. We understand what has happened in our hearts. We've been pardoned by the blood of the crucified one, as the hymn writer put it. And we know that our sins are gone. But then even beyond that, we have righteousness. We have the righteousness of God in the Lord Jesus Christ. We are a people near to Him, just as verse 14 states, and it's because of the redemption that God has wrought for us. Now, in the first half of the psalm, we looked at angels. The angels are in close proximity to God. I mean, we know that Satan himself can enter into heaven, and he can speak to God as well. But the angels might be close in proximity, near in that way, but they're not near in the same way that you and I are near to the Lord. We are a people near to the Lord because we are His children. We are sons and daughters of God. We are a people that are near to the Lord because we make this choice each and every day to draw near to Him. And we're a people who are near to the Lord because it's our habit to come before Him. Now, the idea of the relationship that we have with the Lord, I like what Ephesians 1 says. I like this theme in the scriptures even better than the idea of servanthood, although I like that as well. But the Lord Jesus was pretty clear about this idea of us being his brother and the family relationship, mothers and daughters and sons. Who are these that really are this to the Lord Jesus? And it's those who obey and love his Father and believe on him. So we look at Ephesians 1, and we're in Christ. We're adopted as children of God, sons and daughters of God, according to the good pleasure of the Father's will. And it's the Father, according to Ephesians 1, 4, and 5, that has made us accepted in the Beloved One. It says in that. It says the Beloved, but that participle is standing for the Lord Jesus. That's why in most translations it's got a capital B there. So we are in the Beloved One, in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're accepted as children. We're partakers of the divine nature, Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. And in Ephesians 5:30, we are members of Christ's body, of his flesh and of his bones. It doesn't get nearer than that. We are close to the Lord. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 17, it says, he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. That's pretty amazing when you consider where we've started. We started dead in our trespasses and sins, according to Ephesians chapter 2, but God made us alive together with Christ in verse 4. We were without Christ, having no hope, and without God in the world, but now we've been brought near to God by the blood of Christ, Ephesians 2, verses 11 and 12. And through Christ, we have access. We have access to the Father by one Spirit, according to Ephesians 2 and verse 18. We're no longer strangers or foreigners, but we belong to the family of God. We're fellow citizens, saints, and members of the household of God, Ephesians 2 and verse 19. So we are a people near to him. We're a people near to him by relation. We're also a people near to him by choice. We don't serve God out of slavish fear or compulsion. God doesn't delight in that kind of service. God delights in service that is voluntary, service that we take the step forward each and every day for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're grieved over sin that hinders us from serving him. So it's not compulsion at all. We're doing everything that we can to lay aside the sin and the weights of life that so easily beset us so that we can serve the Lord acceptably. So that we are, as Paul puts it in Romans 12, living sacrifices, holy, acceptable to God, and this is our reasonable service. And so our desire is that we might be sanctified completely by the Father, that our whole spirit, soul, and body would be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. And we make it our goal to cast down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself up against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity into the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, 2 Corinthians 10 and verse 5. We have chosen the narrow way that leads to holiness. This is the holy path. Not an easy one, but it's the right one. We are a people near to God by relation. We are a people near to God by choice. And number three tonight, we are a people near to God by habit. The Bible says that we live and we move and we have our very existence because of the watchful eye of God. We've learned in the Psalms over and over again that when we lie down to sleep, we sleep in safety, and he gives his beloved sleep, that he's always providing that for us because he loves us. And so we do that. We get up in the morning. We know that we need to call upon the Lord before we take that step forward into our day. We ask him for the courage that we need to be the ambassadors that he wants us to be for the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the entire day. And he gives us everything that we need so that everything that we do, whether we eat or drink or whatever we do it all to the glory of God. So when we doubt, when we're in the course of our day, what do? We ask the Lord for wisdom. He doesn't upbraid us for that. He's open. He's always giving us the wisdom that we need. He's giving us the confidence that we need. When we rebel, and we will, then we know that we can go to him and ask him to forgive us. When we struggle with not having enough energy, we ask him for the strength that we need. When we lack resources. We ask him to give us those resources, that his grace would be upon us. We ask him to be merciful to us. We ask for his love because we need it. And you know, the Lord Jesus' words come to mind quickly here. If we truly love him, then we will obey his commandments. But the great thing about fulfilling that admonition from the Lord Jesus is the fact that not only will the Father love us, but both the Father and the Son in that passage will come to us and make their home with us. They will dwell in us. There will be a certain sense of fullness in the abiding relationship that we have with God. I have been crucified with Christ, Paul said. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. So blessed we are because we know the joyful sound. Psalm 85 verse 15 says, we walk in the light of the Lord's countenance. So we are near to him by relation, we are near to him by choice, and we are near to him by habit. We are a people near to him. And if you'll remember in the areas where we've been studying on Sunday nights, the fear of the Lord has been coming up quite a bit. And to fear the Lord means that we are aware of the fact that he is near. Those who are close to the Father and the Son know that the Lord is near. And that will produce two things. And sometimes it happens in the same hour. We are grateful for that fact, and we are grieved by that fact. That's what it is to fear the Lord. We're grateful for it because we realize that he is near, and we stand forgiven, and we understand our undeserved position as a child of God, as a son or a daughter to the Father. So we are near to him. We have feelings where we're near to him, and so we praise him, as the psalmist said. We praise the Lord because we are a people that is near to God. However, we also might be a people who are grieved. You're grateful, but you're grieved, and you're grieved because you know your position is right and firm before the Lord, but then you slide away from him throughout the day. That could even happen tonight. You begin to slide away from the Lord. The good news is that the Lord is ever patient with us. No father on earth could be as patient as the Lord is with us. He chastens those he loves, the Bible says. He brings us close. He never allows us to reach the end of our rope. There are new mercies each and every day. Great is his faithfulness. God always providing the mercy that we need. So we rise from a bed of tears, and God provides for us the strength that we need to praise the Lord once more. So we are a people near to him in a very unique way. God has exalted the strength of his people, a people near to him, and so we should praise the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this text of Scripture. Thank you for the blessing of having this unique relationship with you. Lord, it is unsettling at times because of how selfish we can be, how rebellious we can be. But Lord, we would not want life any other way. We ought to welcome all of that conviction and even the testing and the trials. And Lord, even in the midst of miserable situations, we can find mercy. So help us to see it. Help us, Lord, to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love one another as we love ourselves. Lord, let us be a grateful people who praise the Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We are going to pray this evening. I thought